Yeah, we can do over here the pasuk on the bottom, the Hisanag al Hashem. The Hisanag al Hashem, the Yitin Lecha Mishalas Libecha, Amra Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol HaMa'anek, again, the Likutei Shas in the bottom, on page 328, Mizmor Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, Amra Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol HaMa'anek, Kol HaMa'anek, as HaShabbos, Noisn Loi Mishalas Liba. Anyone that is Ma'anek, Ma'anek is HaShabbos. Person that takes delight in the Holy Shabbos Kodesh, Hashem gives him a bracha. The bracha is he gets mishalos libo. Shenemar v'hisanag al Hashem. Take delight al Hashem. Who al Hashem? Yitin lucham miluki. He'll give you mishalos libecha. Oinik ze einu yodea mahu. What is referring to the oinik? Kishuomer. When it says in the pasuk v'korosa la Shabbos oinik. Okay, this is there. Chazal it says a Shabbos called an oinik. So therefore we learn from him. We link them together and gzeir shava. We know that Shabbos is called an oinek, the koros la Shabbos oinek, and here it says the hisanag al Hashem, the reward, the yiten lecha mishalos libecha, have yomer ze oinek Shabbos. And this is a very important halacha because Shabbos, what are the laws of Shabbos? There's kavod Shabbos, there is oinek Shabbos, Zeichel Shabbos. During the Zeichel Shabbos, Zochoros Yom Shabbos, the Kachel, correct? And the Shmir Shabbos. There are many dimensions of Shabbos. He said, Dov said, there is Zechiras, Zochor Es Yom Shabbos, the Kachel. Zochreyu Alayayim. We know this thing called Kvoid Shabbos. To give honor. Where does that come from? I don't know. There's Oinek Shabbos, that it says over here in this part. Zeichel Shabbos, so the Shabbos. And it was that? The same pasuk called Shabbos Mechubad, and it's Oinek, and we know that it says the Shamru v'nei Yisroles HaShabbos, Shmira Shabbos, and of course there is the Shmira Shabbos, Oinek Shabbos, Kvoit Shabbos, and Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshot. So it's at least four different dimensions in Shabbos. What is unique to Shabbos is the oinek element, because you don't have, it's like simcha. I don't believe it says anywhere that there's din of simcha on Shabbos. Simcha is unique to Yom Tov. And Yom Tov, there's no such thing as oinek. There is no, doesn't say anywhere there's oinek. Mishnah Berurah somewhere the Mishnah Berurah talks about this, is that the unique element of Shabbos is oinek, and there's no simcha. It doesn't say anywhere you have to
Well, actually, it only says the pasuk with samachta v'chagecha. General, it's talking about Sukkot.
Well, three times. It says, doesn't say that all by Pesach, no simcha at all.
No, because the crops are still in the field, and Shavuot is...
For agricultural reasons.
Sukkot is the harvest season, so that's why you get to be relaxed.
Right, and Sukkot, it says it twice. It says twice, and then they all compare to one another. So by the end of the days, we learn out that the simcha are all of the Moadim. Even though it does not say it by the Shalosh Regalim, even though it does not say the word Simcha by Pesach, it only says Simcha by Shavuot, says it once, and by Sukkot it says it twice. Shema Yosef is referring to Chazal. Why? Because Pesach, you're nervous. It's Chodesh Aviv. The grain is still growing. You don't know what's going to be yet. Shavuot is, it's already past the harvest. And it's out in the fields, it's drying out in the fields, but look who's back. Welcome back.
You heard we're going to cemetery.
Welcome back, Shalom Aleichem. I had a big schuss of meeting with you in Kim Aris. Went there to the Menachem Avil, the Fruchtan family. Who did I see when I walked in there? I saw our very own. Wow, that was nice. That was nice to see you. Okay, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Good to see you.
Kiddush.
By Sterling. Okay. We're on page 328. Okay, so let's go over here further. We'll go for over here. It says, okay, and this is unique. Oinek. There's something called Oinek Shabbos, and there are nafkaminis lahalacha. I don't know what they are, but the Mishnah Berurah talks about this principle like bosa. The inyan of achilas, the bosa, and drinking wine is an extension of simcha. And the Ikar HaDin that only applies to the Basar of Kachin, of a carbon shlamin. Today, there is a minag, a mitzvah that I'm yomtiv, even though we don't have Basar Kachin, to have Basar. But on Shabbos, it does not say anywhere that the Simcha. So on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah, the Farish, the Mishnah Berurah says, there is no obligation to eat Basar. In fact, that halacha, it's an interesting halacha, where you know, many years ago, there was a person who put out an index on the Mishnah Berurah, an index.
Yad,
it's incredible. This index is out of this world.
They printed it in English.
Now, Dirshuk tried to compete with him. They put out their own index. I don't think it's as good as his index. They originally, when you look at the index, like you ask a person, where does it say that on Shabbos, you're not obligated, are you obligated to eat basar? A basar, the general term, doesn't necessarily refer to meat, it refers to poultry, chicken. Are you obligated on Shabbos to eat basar? A person wants to be a vegetarian. How many violations in halacha is the oiver if he does stam, a mishagas, he wants to, you know, there are people that for their diet medically, they have no choice. That's a different story. But let's say a person on his own wants to be a vegetarian. So are you allowed to? An Orthodox Jew, they have to follow the rules. And the rules are that if you can afford, if Hashem gave you the means to have a chicken, to have meat, so what you, just because you want to be, you want to follow what's going on in society, are you allowed to do that? So the Mishnah Berurah basically says, yeah. The Mishnah Berurah says there's no obligation on Shabbos to eat basar. Where does it say that? I don't remember, but it doesn't say in any of the obvious places. If you go look, let's say you go look in the Seuda Friday night, and you look at the Seuda Shabbos day, you go look through if you were to go and search in the Mishnah Berurah, where the Mishnah Berurah would talk about the Seuda, what you must eat, you would expect to find it in the laws of the Seuda Shabbos. Friday night, you go to Shochmach, third Chelik, Mishnah Berurah, there in the shins, somewhere one of the shins, and it says there which, you know, you go to, where you expect to find it. Guess what? It's not there.
Right.
You know what he says it's in the middle of nowhere, in a place in the Mishnah Berurah that you would never, ever, in wildest dreams, expect to find it. And unless you're a Baki Muflog in Mishnah Berurah, which there are people, there are people that demamish devote themselves to Mishnah Berurah. Unless you're a Baki Muflog, you'll never find it. The index, you look in the index, Shabbos, Basar, bang, it tells you to go in some part of Mishnah Berurah you never would imagine. And then the Mishnah just says it there incidentally, like 3-4 words, incidentally, with a Shabbos and Chayav Lechol Basar. He says it in the middle of nowhere. That's an incredible thing, you know, that goes to show, like, also, where does it say even
ideologically
that...
Ideologically, you can't...
What?
Ideologically, you can't say, you know,
why?
Because you're denying what I've heard about the gateways.
Okay, true. Okay, it's true, but correct. But the question, that's true, I understand, but it's not the hashkafa of the average Jew. The Torah is mashma that you're supposed to eat basar. It's a good thing to eat basar. That's let's say a person doesn't want to do it. You have to know the gedara. So is he doing something wrong? If there is a mitzvah to eat basar, and the person is healthy, and he has the means to do so, and he decides, I want to be a vegetarian on Shabbos also. So the question is, there are two issues. There's a hashkafic issue. This is not the way everyone else behaves. Number two, you want to be different? Okay, you can be different. Are you in violation of halacha? So, violation of halacha? No, you're not. You're not. That's very important to know. Because at the end of the day, you have to know the halachas. You can't impose your hashkafa upon other people. Halacha is halacha and hashkafa is hashkafa. At the end of the day, you have to know the precise halacha. And that's why it's very important to be a baki in Mishnah Berurah, you know, to know things that you never...
My grandfather said that in Eretz Yisrael, the 1800s, they only had meat was hard to come by.
Okay, that's a different
animals.
Story.
They only ate flesh shakes Shabbos lunch.
Okay.
Night.
Because Shabbos covered. Shabbos day, there's a, this covered. Friday night, that's not your money in Mishnah Berurah. Right, so the Mishnah Berurah talks about this. I don't even know the halakha. The Mishnah Berurah is mechalik between the Friday night Seudah and the Shabbos Seudah. The Friday night Seudah is the din of Oineg, and the Shabbos Seudah is the din of covered. And each one has a unique element. And that is an aftermin in the way one conducts himself in types of foods and what he eats Friday night versus what he does Shabbos
the
day.
Brings down that, which both you have wine, you have the bread, you have
which
the
meat, one?
Which one?
One
has and the day meal had
covered of covered, and Friday night is only oineg. There's no covered Friday night. Friday night you only have oineg, and by and Shabbos day there is covered. What are the nafkaminas? I don't know. We have to go back and look.
That's why you have the zmiras that are at night and the zmiras that are written that you say during the day. Yom Zeh Mechubot is, you say it lunchtime.
By day, Yom Zeh Mechubot, right, there's accuracy.
That's the reason.
People though today, they do whatever, you know, they mix things up. They okay, whatever. Let's see the next man, Chazal, Pasuk Zayin. Doim La'ashem Yisrael Eloi.
It seems that only it's only about food, just food. It's the candles and the mapa levana, clothing that you. It's not food.
Saying very good.
The food is only on.
The food relates to oinik. Kavoy represents clothing. It represents tefillah. Represents respect and aura. The lighting of the candle. Well, it represents a different an aura. Of how you conduct yourself. Oinik is your physical needs. You the food also could be part of lighting candles because the air should see what you're eating. Okay, candles is complex because there are many different dimensions, facets of hadlaka snares. Absolutely. Okay, so over here, oinik, and we have covered, we have shmira, and we have, what do we say, what are the four different dimensions? Shabbos, there's zohar, zechira, and there is shmira Shabbos, and there is kvod Shabbos, and there is oinik Shabbos. And this pasuk, and each one is a different dimension to the Shabbos. And for the oinik Shabbos is where the pasuk promises, guarantees blessing of the yitin lecha mishalos libecha. So we have Calvin is saying very well, he's saying that the word oinik is food. The yitin lecha, yesterday we said this Jewish, if the yitin lecha alludes to the birchos yitzchok. And the birchos yitzchok, v'yitin lecha halokim yital ha'ashram mishman eretz, v'rev dagun v'sirash, were primarily birchos relating to gashmis. All the birchos there are primarily, you know, you read into whatever you want to read into, but the basic gist is the gashmis, and it's good what you're saying, the hisanag is gashmis. Pasuk Zayin. Doim la'ashem v'yischer lo yishalach lei mar'ukva l'rabi eloz, b'nei adam ho'im dim alayi, so are you allowed to snitch on people that you don't like and give them over to the government, to give them over to be a meiser? Meiser is considered to be in halacha one of the worst things in the world. If a person informs the government that so and so is a ganav, so it's amazing how this thing has come back to life.
Right.
I know firsthand, someone that I know. But you know, in the time of Chazal, if a person snitches on his friend to the government, it is mamish, like worse than avod zara gilarai shvichasam put together. That's what because you're a moiser. If you inform the government that someone is a ganav for anything, and the government now checks into him, Imam Aroidif. What was the lundis? What was the understanding of this? The Rambam says this. The Rambam says you're allowed to kill a Moshe. The Rambam has incredibly sharp words. He always quoted in the secular press Maimonides. What Maimonides says about a person who informs on another fellow Jew to the government that he's not behaving properly. Call the police. Okay, there's a big thing in Rahman Muslim today with children. If a child reveals that there's some type of thing going on, you know, abuse, child abuse, as you can, you know, use your imagination or refer to, so you call the police. So you call the police, you know, this is what Rabbanim deal with the entire day. What do you do? So the people who are not so excited about this, they'll quote you the Rambam, that anyone that's a Moiser, if you inform on a fellow Jew to the government, you're mamish aroide, if you're a tzeach. What was the thinking behind this concept in the time of the Rambam? The government has no rules. And once the government gets a hold of a person, there's no end to what the government will do. They will not only kill him at the end, they will torture him, they will abuse him, they will destroy his family. The goyim have no morals, there's no limits of what they can do, and it's mamish pikuach nefesh. If you tell the government that someone is cheating on his taxes, you're giving him over for torture, death, and humiliation for him and his family forever. And therefore, it's the worst thing you can do. So for a very long time in America, there's been an attitude that America is a benevolent country. And in America, no one gets in trouble, no one goes to jail, and if a person is a victim of a crime, it's not such a bad thing that you should call 911, no matter what it is, because the Rabbanim can't help you. The Rabbanim have almost no power most of the time, and anything they do have power, it can take years and years. The whole system is pathetic. A person is a victim of a crime, you call 911. That was, and it still is, to a very large degree, what the Gedolei Yisrael have told people to do in many, many different situations. Of course, you know, there are different situations. And okay, and so, oh, but the Rambam says that you're Moiser, who you're finished. Not in America. America is an andere Bria, Naya Bria. Now, 100%, but you know, if you see this, paying attention to the news, okay, I'm not coming to enter into the debate of what happened on January 6th. Okay, that's not the place here to go talk about that and to tell you my 2 cents, which doesn't make a difference. And But I feel free to say that even in the worst scenario, the way some of these people are being treated is just shocking. I know someone, I often go, Michal knows him also, who's right now in prison, because he was there. Anyone in this room would say, this person should be potter. Exempt for so many different reasons. Okay, it's not my place, and he's there, and I know what's going on. I was told what's going on. I don't know, we should really be sitting and saying to him the whole day, to this person, what is going through, what's going on, and they don't let up. I can't reveal all the details, and it's like pachad pachadim. If the government wants to get you, you know, okay, so he did a crime. He was there. You can't even get involved. And you right away, when you start hear stories like this, and that's what I know, one person that I know personally. And when you want to go look on the news, listen, I'm not here to debate this whole issue over here, well, what happened on that day. But when you hear what they're trying to do to these people, how they abuse the power of government to torture people and destroy their families, for who and for what? You really begin to go back and understand Chazal said there's something called a moiser. You give over a person to a government who is not religious, there's nothing holding them back. What they can do, what's possible, and it's mamish. You know, Chazal come mamish. You see the koyach of Chazal. Oh, but for the last 50 years, things have been pretty good, and yet never heard of such stories like this. In other countries, this is a walk in the park, picnic, compared to what goes on in other countries. So in America, it's different. Yeah, it can change on a dime. Flip on a dime. It's pachat pachadim. So here he brings down the story in the Gemara. And Pasuk Zayin, Shalach Le Maruk V'Le Rabbi Chalos, the Bnei Adam Ha'Indim Olai, there are people that are bothering me. They're causing me agmas nefesh. L'charfeini to curse me u'l'gatfeini u'v'yodi l'mosu malchus. If I want, all I have to do is call 911 and they'll come and they'll take them away. Can I call 911 to get rid of these people? Nah. Sirtate v'chosav lei. Omarti, I said, Eshmero dirachai mechato v'lashoni. I guard my way from sinning. From sinning with my lips, eshmera lefi. I guard my mouth machsoim with a muzzle. I guard my pair with a muzzle machsoim. Beoid rasha lenegdi. When the rush is right in front of my face, af al pish rasha lenegdi. Even when the rush is right in front of me, eshmera lefi machsoim. So he basically told them, don't. Call 911 in this instance. Why? Because they're going to kill them. The government will get a hold of them. They'll have an excuse. They will punish them more than what they deserve. And you will be responsible. Shalach lei, kometzare lei tuva, v'loi motzina de'ekim behu. I can't survive. These people, he's not telling us what they're doing. Okay, it's not telling us that they're doing criminal activity. They're not telling us, obviously the Gemara is leaving out all the details, but if we use our imagination that he's saying, but I really need to do this, I cannot survive with these people. Shalach lei, he quoted the second pasuk. Doim la Hashem nischoy leloi. Doim la Hashem, we discussed this yesterday at length, because the word doim mean silence, vayi doim aroim, which pretty much means accept, or does it mean hope, wait. We have two perushim. Either it means wait, be patient, or it means accept the situation. According to this passage, then Hashem, avodas Hashem, v'hu yapilein l'cha chalolim. So here we make the drasha. This is the famous drasha. Doim la Hashem v'hischoilel loy. Everything we learned yesterday was pshat, and the pshat is doim either means be quiet or wait. V'hischoilel and have hope in Hashem. That's the pshat. The drusha is the word his cholel is the lashon of a cholol. Cholol is a dead body. Just we wait, and the end will be this person will do himself in, or the government, someone will get, will punish him for other reasons, and Hashem will bring them down in front of you, chalolim, bodies, corpses, piles of corpses. Hashem, and what does he mean? So he explains more. Hashkem deha a rave aleim beis hamedrash, be machazik yourself. Come earlier to the beis medrash and stay later in the beis medrash than them. The heim and they kolin me aleihen and they will cease to exist on their own. Hadav yatz mipi. Once he said these words, hadav yatz mipi Rabbi Elazar. Once he told them the psak, just don't say lashon hara, don't go inform. Miracle happened. Unisanuhu liginiva. That was one of the people that was causing him tsar. Shayim tsar is Shabbat Maruf. The kolar in a kolar is in a chain. The shal shalois barzel in the iron chain. So Nechalam, he did. He had faith in the construction. He was in Zmashim Arif. And then the government, on their own, for other reasons, nothing to do with the reason why they were causing him pain. They chased after him and they got him. You find this by politician. Mechol is not here. You know, there are certain politicians. They get into trouble. Look at Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo had a lot of people didn't like him for many different reasons. Many, many different reasons. Many different segments of the community, especially the front people, they had a lot of issues with him. If he had this radio call, it was like Bender. Listen to that radio call with Bender. Not only the front people, but Goyim also. At the end, what got him out of office? Something totally different. Something totally unrelated, out of left field. One woman came forward, and she had enough clout to get rid of him. It's amazing. A lot of people wanted him out. A lot of people hated him for all different reasons. And one woman got rid of him for something totally unrelated to multiple, you know, after they got rid of him, a lot of the garbage came out. It was like shocking what some of the other politicians.
They were afraid to talk before. I have a niece who worked, had a meet with him to the New York City budget. She was in charge, and she used to go up to Albany once a month, and she had a meet with Shelley Silver, and then she had a Shalom, and then she had a meet with the governor and their people. And she said, long before we were talking about a relationship, and she said, he gives me the creeps.
I'm not even talking about corruption. Talking about dealing with people, bullying, and mafia tactics, and different issues in government. I'm not even talking about this whole thing. And how do you get rid of him? Out of nowhere. This is an example of doim la Hashem. I mean, but the front people, they love to always quote the clip where during COVID, he basically said, you know why we've been successful in bringing down the numbers? It's not because of God. It's nothing to do with God. It's because of me. Because of my brilliant approach in dealing with, not because of God. Okay, they love to replay that clip over and over again. Okay, that's a one little clip. There are many politicians. Usually hear what the mayor used to curse him. Now you listen to the mayor of de Blasio, what he would say about him, that is bullying and blackmail, the whole technique. But that's not why he was removed from office, because of corruption. It's because of something else. Out of nowhere, one person had enough courage to come forward, and for some reason they listened to her. One person. That's pshat. Doim la Hashem.
She had hard evidence.
Doim la Hashem v'hischol eloi is that sometimes if you come forward, you come and you pull the trigger, it's always going to be on your plate, sis, that you're the cause of this happening. Sometimes the better advice is just wait. Patience. These type of people do themselves in. They do them, what goes around comes around, they do themselves in. It doesn't always work, obviously, every situation is different, but this is definitely a principle. Doim la Hashem, v'hischolel, Hashem will be mapil in them in front of you, cholulim, cholulim, bodies, dead bodies, people who are corrupt. The end is, they usually do themselves in. You don't have to do anything to them, they on their own implode. I saw actually this morning, I was preparing this morning, there was a person, and we saw a story in one of the sermons I was looking at, story time, where there was a very simple person, a very passionate person, he had phenomenal children. And people would always ask, Bamezoch, how did this person, Zoyfeh, all of his children turned out to be such exceptional Nitzuyan? Who is this? Who's the father? Who is the father? The father is just a very simple, nondescript person. How is Zoyfeh? So I would right away say, it's not the father, it's the mother. But that's not what it says in the story. So one of the Gedolei Yisrael who knew me said, I'll tell you, I know the answer. I also wondered, and the answer is, this person, whenever he has children, you know, children do what children do. And you got to give them Musa to get them on the right path. This person, whenever he wanted to give Musa to his children, they're not right, he always said to himself, am I guilty of the same crime? He saw that his kids are not benching. They're not benching. So instead of giving Musa to his children, which you know you're not listening to, he said, if they're not benching, it's because I am not a good example. I don't bench. I'm a kabbal upon myself. Every chesar he saw by his children, he looked at it as a chesar in himself. He was a mechazik to bench carefully from a bencher word for word. And all of a sudden, the problem went away. The kids started benching. The kids got angry. They were fighting. He realized that at home, he also gets angry and he was mekal. The way he was mechanic his children was not even saying one word to Hashem. Doim. Doim. He took action. And he himself was mechazek himself. And all of the problems, cholulim, cholulim. All the problems just collapsed. All the problems just disappeared. It disappeared. The musr, the ultimate musr is by example. You know, the classic thing is, how do you teach children to give tzedakah? So most people, they assume the way you teach children, you take them to shul when they're 5 years old, and then it's chazar sashatz, and you give them a quarter, and you say, go there to the bima, and you put the quarter in the pushka. That's how you teach a child to give tzedakah. So what have you done? What have you done is that this child will never give a penny of tzedakah. But when this child will become an adult and get married and have his own child, he will go and take that same quarter and give it to his little child and tell him, go to the pushka and put the quarter in the pushka. The tzedakah is the same 25 cents, 25 years later, the same quarter, and he will instruct his little child to give quarter. That's not the way you teach your children to get stuck. The way you teach your children to get stuck, I've read this many times, is you take your kid to shul, and then when it's chazar sashatz, you pick him up, and you, the father, walk over to the pushka. You open up your wallet, you take out a dollar, and you put it in the pushka, and you let the kid watch. Don't give him a quarter. He has no money. Don't give the kid a quarter to put the money in the pushka. Don't give him one. Just have him watch you put a quarter or a dollar. Watch him see you open up your wallet, take out money, and put the money in the pushka. And what do children want to do? They want to be a big tati. I also want to be like tati. If my tati opens up his wallet, posoyach tiftach, lesikbo sikbo tziyotcha, don't hold back. And my tati, he opens up his wallet, he takes out a dime, he puts it in the pushka. I want to do that. And then that's what he'll do. He'll open up his wallet and he'll give tzedakah. He's not going to go, it's a whole different type of chinuch. The ultimate chinuch is by imitation, is by example. So here, it's interesting. Doim la Hashem, what we always say, how do you teach your kids not to talk during davening? No, davening. You see Shabbos morning, you see parents, they take their kids, no. Davin. That's the way you teach. The way you teach kids, you don't say one word to them. Done. Stoik. Don't say one word to them. When you see they're talking, you look in the sitter and you daven with more kavanah. And when you daven with more kavanah sincerely, that goes a lot more, a lot further than going no. Let someone else say to them no. You put them right in front of your face and you daven seriously, doim la Hashem. You're quiet, don't give other people musa. When you do that, the hischolel, the lashon of a cholol, a dead body, the problems just die. The problems just cease to exist. That's
actually it. Stand quiet and you have the Ramal Shani Mati Tikva, you have Mati Rasulim, everything is there. You just, Hashem. I'm standing quietly, Lachash, nobody hears me, and I'm saying to Hashem what's in my heart. That's Shmona Esrei.
Well, that's why I say the symbolism of wrapping yourself in the talis before you start the davening is to teach you to lock everything out. And now you're about to daven, and you just close your face. And you're supposed to cover your... It says in the Mishnah Berurah that you cover the ikar of putting on a talis, the way you do is to cover your lips.
To cover your lips. It has to go until the lips.
That's what it says.
That's how far it's supposed to go. It's supposed to go until your lips.
Cover your lips.
Excellent.
So that's what it says. So
excellent.
So remember, you're talking only to one person now. Have nothing else in mind. And that's what it's all about.
The ikar is to cover your lips. You're saying very good.
I made a speech one time, and he says what you just said, basically. He said, he was a psychologist also, but he said that when you say, you know, the kid is talking, he's a little kid, to show you say, no, Zokrishma. He said, what'd you teach your son right now?
Then he should screech.
The ultimate is you say nothing and now say Krishma. I look, give him a dirty look maybe, but don't say Krishma, don't say Zokrishma. You taught him to talk during the end, no problem.
There's a lot of discussion about the Bali Musar. There's a trade-off. The Bali Musar is, you know, parents, father, you know, go to work. You come home, how much time already do you have during the day? Zero. Especially in this generation in America, we have no time for anything. So a person, a hardworking person, if he's lucky, he's able to have a night saved. Okay, many people who work the whole day, they can't even do that. But a person is able, okay, at night I go to a shir, I have a seder at night. Should you have the seder at home, or should you go out of the house to a shir? So usually many people will tell you there's a very big dilemma what to do. What's the dilemma? It's a very common shayla. With people, young married people who have little children, the dilemma is, if I have my seder at home, I'm going to end up learning a lot less. Because my wife's going to come in and say, do this, do this, do this. There's always going to be a distraction. The phone's going to ring. There's always going to be, an exception, a distraction. If I'll go to shul, that's it. I'm out of here. I don't exist. You can't distract me. I'm sitting by a shir. I'm learning b'charus and shul for an hour, 45 minutes. I'm out of the house. On the other hand, the trade-off is, if you're home and you have little children, don't underestimate the impression you make upon your children when you sit at home with a chavrusa, learning. And the children, they're aware. You have little children, they see their father. He's sitting at home at the table with a chavrusa. Someone comes to the house, they learn together. Don't underestimate that impression. Oh, you're going to say, but it's not such a great idea because I'll end up learning half as much. Because once you're home, you know how it goes at home. There's always a distraction, there's always a problem, there's always something going on, there's always screaming and this and that, and this kid and that kid, and this problem, that problem, and this
what
kid.
What about the chavrusas?
What? You got to find the chavrusas when you come to. You're right.
So let's say. Switch off.
Or you switch off, or you're dealing, you're taking a bacha, they're all different. So what is the better option? It's not so posh. Many people, the many gedolim will tell you, don't risk your children's chinuch. The most important thing is your children. And if you are even asking the question that my children would benefit seeing that their father, he sits and learns, even though that may lead to you learning a lot less, okay, that's
it's treading on a very
thin ice.
I could say the same thing, thin ice, because I'm going to get down with it.
No, you got to make a balance. You have to make a balance.
My kids got to see, it's like the young kid comes to shul, and they were talking to the daughters, the girls who, it's something about tefillin. And the girl goes, I have no idea. I never saw my father come.
Well, that's one of the tests to take the kids to elementary school.
The girls who knew was around.
They take in kindergarten, they have a yeshiva that has everyone's dying to get in for some reason, and there are limited spots. What do? They show the kid, they show a kindergarten, so from kindergarten, a pair of tefillin. And they ask them, do you know what this is? And if the kid says, yeah, I know what this is, my tati wears this. You don't take that kid. You're out. Why? How do you know your tati? You're kindergarten, you're 3 years old, how do you know tefillin? Obviously, because the father is at home. We don't want these type of kids in there. We want a solid home where the father goes to shul. Never heard this before. It's not a joke. It's not much true. You ever wonder why they have behind closed doors to interview your children?
They
subcontract
the CIA.
When my oldest
son
was a kid,
I
think getting interviewed to get into yeshiva, they wanted to see how smart he was. I don't know. It's kidding.
Yeah.
So they were showing him different things. They showed him in mailbox.
Yeah.
And he goes, push the...
Ooh! Not
they go, huh? Said, because we were in Eretz Yisrael, because it's in Eretz Yisrael, the push the box looks like a mailbox.
Wow. What if the three-year-old, show him a piece of challah, okay, from the bakery, challah, Shabbos challahs. What is this? He'll tell you this is called new. Why is this called new? Where did you get that word from?
Yeah,
because when the parents, when they wash Friday night, they're new, go wash. So the children's mind, a challah is called new.
It's a new.
Go ask any three-year-old, what is new? Ask them, try to communicate with them. They will tell you that challah is called new. Because most parents, they say new when they're about to cut the challah. So they don't think of the bracha. Look, you talk about tefillin. I'll tell you a story where, one of my relatives, he likes, like every child likes to be like a tati. So, every kid. So I went to the bottom of the present tefillin. tefillin, like the toy tefillin. I remember many, many years ago, they used to have toy tefillin. So I went into the store, I asked them, do you still have those toy tefillin? They says, no, we don't have them anymore. They don't make it. They stopped making it. So I right away assumed the reason why they stopped making it was because it's not a good thing. You shouldn't give a child toy tefillin because tefillin is a davish of the kedusha, and they have to learn how to be sanctified. You don't give it to a child.
We give them a toy to save the toilet.
Okay, it's interesting. You're right. It's a good. You make a good point. It's true. You give them a toy. The soil toy save the Torah. But there, you know, you bring it to Simchas Torah. They learn how to be mechabedit. They do learn. They do. But tefillin, they're not taking it to shul and Simchas Torah. They're at home, so it's a zilz. I fully got it. I found why the chachamim, the rabbanim of this door ban toy tefillin. Okay, I got it. Then by here, I go into the Judaica store and I see toy tefillin, a little zekel, so cute, a little tallah zekel, and the tefillin, they look really good. If someone would put them on here, you couldn't even tell they're toy tefillin. They're really, really, really good, these toy tefillin. So I'll take a risk. I bought it. I brought it. I went to Lakewood, and I gave it. So my brother basically said to me, you know, you should have asked me first. I would never ever allow you to give it to him. I don't want it. This is not what we do here. I don't like this. I don't like it. But you already bought it. All right. So you already bought it. But you know, even I don't know if he actually said this to me. These words, but I got that very strong impression from him. Maybe someone else. They're like, what are you doing? Don't you know? You don't give kids toys on. It's not the right thing to do. All right, you bought it already. So gesunde, hey, let them play with it. Okay, I thought big deal. I was proven wrong very quickly. Why was I proven wrong? First of all, within 5 minutes, I walk into the room, and what do I see on the floor?
Right.
I see the tefillin on the floor, right? You have to fast. It's all falling over. The Shogad and the Shogosh are lying all on the floor. I said, yeah, you know, Taka, they're right. All right, no. Okay, then a little bit later, we're sitting at the table, Shabbos Suda, and who walks in dressed in the tefillin? His little sister. The little sister figured out how to put on some. So the little sister is wearing the shalrosh, all the shalyat. And then I said, you know, the rabbanim, they actually know what they're talking about. Okay, is this the right thing? Because the little, you know, the little kids, the little girls, oh, I also want to wear the tefillin. What's the difference between him? He has this toy. I also want this toy. So she wraps the tefillin very, she really knew how to do it very good. She put it on with the ritzuas and the whole thing. I said, obviously that's not the right message you send the child, because Nashim, Shulchan Aruch, don't wear tefillin. What are you planting seeds in the mind of a child? Oh, she also wants to wear tefillin. What are you looking for trouble? What? Yeah, exactly. What are you looking for trouble? What are you looking for trouble? So I got it. I really, really got it. I really appreciate it. You know, it's not the best thing to have toy tefillin. It's interesting, very interesting.
Right near my house, I don't know who, he had somebody on his lawn, he had a little poster,
yeah.
Which I thought was very much against it. It said, my tati learns...
Night Saviors.
Yeah, my tati learns...
Yeah, there was a movement, the Night Saviors movement. Yeah, yeah.
I
okay, so that was a very, I don't know, it petered down.
Because what about all the fathers that don't?
Yeah. So you're embarrassing them. They also should. They also
but
should.
They,
if they could.
Can.
If
oh,
they could, right. If they could. Obviously, this is a problem. There are too many people.
Maybe
that,
they learn at home so the kids should
right.
see them.
All right. It's not. I hear what you're saying. I remember
yeah,
that.
I
was last year.
I had
you don't
a
see
secretary
that
who said she was getting upset with her daughter. She said her daughter came home and she said, what was the matter with the guy? She said, I asked him what he does when he finishes work, and he said that, you know, he wants to come home when he finally gets home to relax. He said, what do you mean, come home, relax? You're not going out to my bedroom? So he said, no, I'm tired. He said, my father goes to learn every night. I mean, you know, he comes home from work, and he eats, and he goes down to learn. What do you mean you don't go to learn?
All right. You never know. Everyone is different.
Doesn't blame him.
Everyone is different. Let's go further. Okay, let's Chazal. Next Chazal is Kevin Shemes. Let's go to the two lines to the bottom. Kevin Shemes b'nei Aaron. Amru loy Aaron achi loy meis b'necha ele lakish shemay shokam b'sparuchu. Kevin Shiyad Aaron shabanav yiduim lo kohen shasak. This is the classic pasuk by Yidoim Aaron. When Aaron suffered this incredible tragedy on the day of the Chanukah San Mishkan, he was silent. The kibel socha shnemar vayidim Aaron v'chein b'davnu oimer doim la Hashem v'hischol loy. Af al pi shemapil loy chalolim chalolim at shtoik. You be silent at shtoik. You be silent. Now, what exactly does that mean? Now, it would appear, if I'm not mistaken, that this Gemara Masechta Zvachim is turning this Chazal mamish 180 degrees. And it seems like it's saying is that until now we've been learning that a person should just have faith in Hashem. A person has a difficult situation. Don't complain. Don't complain. Have emunah. And if you're zoiche, Hashem will solve your problems. Having the emunah itself can be the trigger for the ata mapil cholol, where it was chalolim. So according to this Chazal, according to this Chazal, it's knows the opposite. It's discussing where David HaMelech is suffering tragedy, and even though David HaMelech is suffering the hischilel, still doim laHashem. Similar to Aaron suffered the tragic loss of his two children on this very special day, Nadav Aviv. And Vayidei Maron. It appears that Chazal is saying the same thing here with regard to David. Doim la Hashem v'hischolel, even though David is suffering tragedy, that there are people that he's close to have died, chalolim, chalolim, yet, shtoik, Vayidei Maron. Aaron accepted. He did not complain, was not bitter about the situation. So it's equating David's life. David, and this probably was a major theme in David's life, David had many a very, very difficult life. David suffered enormously. Every type of tragedy that could happened to David. And David, yet, despite of everything that happened to David, all the different tragedies happened to David, David was always in the category of Doim LaHashem. Even though the Hischelel, even though in many of the situations in his life the situation was tragic and there were tragedies, he went followed in the ways of Aaron, Vayidoim Aaron. You have this midah, you see this midah by Malchus and by Kohuna. There are two leaders in Klal Yisrael. There's the category the leadership of Malchus, David HaMelech, Moshe was the Melech, which Malchus went to Sheva Yehuda in David and in the Kohuna, the leadership of Kohuna. And by both of these heads of the leadership of Aaron, of Kohuna, Vayidei Aaron, and in Malchus, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael David, both of them have in common this attribute of Doim LaHashem. Even in a matzah of the his cholol, you always wonder what is the characteristic of great people. We've been talking about this every so often. You look around, you see there are people today that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hashgacha practice, have put in positions of leadership. And sometimes when you look at these people, you wonder, Bameh koicho yofe? What is it exactly about these people? What is it about them that they were zoiche, or I should say zoiche, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'hashkocha pratis put them in this position? What is it about them? Are they the smartest people? So many will tell you, no, not necessarily. There are people out there that are much smarter. Are they the most knowledgeable? Are they most charismatic? No. And you really wonder, we are ma'aminim, everything is b'hashkocha pratis. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was he mesavev hasibois? This particular person, he is in a position of leadership, and the decisions that he makes affects many, many people. Why? What? Obviously, Hashem sees in him a quality that other people do not have. And that is what is needed for this tekufa and this sevivan, this matzav. He has that quality. What is that quality? So, I mean, obviously every situation is different. You can't generalize. I always would like to tell you, I always believe the quality is being able to keep secrets. Great people know how to keep secrets. And people who know how to, it's a certain trait that a person can have that has nothing to do with intelligence, nothing to do with charisma, nothing to do with your koyach hadibur, your oratorical skills, or anything, your writing skills. And very, very often, that midah of doing, keep quiet, secrets. A lot of people out there, you know what goes into their head? The secrets of the world. It's unbelievable how many things people trust what they tell them. And if they violate that trust, and they tell someone else something, and you know what the Yetzer is to tell a secret? You know what the Yetzer is? It's unbelievable. You have a secret in you, the Yetzer to tell someone, you know, it's unbearable. The pain, you gotta get it out. It's like a rabbi. You have a drasha? The rabbis are called pregnant. Why are pregnant? You ever heard the expression? Mm-hmm. Because once a rabbi has a drasha, it's got to come out. No such a woman is pregnant. The baby is coming out one way or another, dead or alive,
you know,
premature or what?
You know who says that many times? Rav David Cohen. And even in last week's, everybody was laughing because last week under the chuppah, he said he got up there to say, I wasn't asked to speak, but I'm gone.
I have to.
At a rabbi's installation, he was the guest speaker for the installation of the new rabbi, so he said the same thing that he got up there, he says, it's got to come out, you know. I wasn't asked. Again, this many years ago, I heard him say I was at this installation, and he said the same thing basically. I wasn't asked to speak, but I have something that I feel I have to get off my chest.
That's not only for a rub, that's for every person.
Yeah, yeah.
Every
he
person carries.
Ready, and he was going to say it no matter what.
Every person carries within him a secret. There is an incredible desire, Yetzirah, to give out over that secret. And the ability to keep that secret private, to die with that secret, is a trait of greatness. Doim la Hashem. Doim is silence. Don't reveal what you're not supposed to reveal. This trait is found in Malchus and in Kohuna. Aaron, even though by Yidoim Aaron, okay, even though they're in the context refers to the tragedy, but the concept is the same. The ability just to keep it to yourself.
Even the Arabi said that. Usually you're saying, you're letting out a secret that you shouldn't say because you want to make yourself feel better. You're causing grief to the other people who you're saying it because if nobody knows and this is the way it is, keep your mouth shut.
It takes an enormous amount of discipline.
That's Lashon Hara. That's Lashon Hara.
No,
not necessarily Lashon Hara. I mean, it turns into Lashon Hara. It turns into Megalasoit. Okay, there are many different. Lashon Hara usually is something that is harmful. You're right, it is Lashon Hara. If it's harmful that this secret should be revealed, then it's Lashon Hara.
No secret should be revealed. That's the whole point of it being a secret.
Exactly. And the desire, it demands an enormous amount of discipline to keep the secrets to yourself and not reveal thee. That is a trait of greatness. And that trait, personally, I find, more often than not, is much more important than all of the other skills that you would prefer, you would want on the resume of a leader. Okay, a leader of many things. You should be charismatic and tall and good-looking and an orator and a Yerushalayim, of course, and Talmud Chacham, v'chulu, v'chulu. Keeping secrets? Where does that rate? On the resume. For most people, okay, you know, you keep like everyone else. No, it is so critical. You see, if you see great people, you hang out a little bit by you know, Rosh Yeshivas and Rabbanim. You know what's in their head? It's incredible the things that people tell them. And you know, just in the casual conversation, just to say even one word, you've already spilled the beans. And it's a very, very big problem. It's a very big thing. And I'm trying to suggest, to allude, that this is the connection between David and Aaron, as the Chazal say. They both have the midah of Don. Malchus and Kohuni, the two branches of leadership in Klal Yisrael, demand this discipline of not revealing what is not meant to be revealed. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. Pasuk Ches. Hedef ma'af va'azev chema. Advice of a psychologist. Hedef, desist. Hedef means to, what is the word heref? Heref is a very, very good word. Very good word. Heref means to let go. Rifyain.
Rifyain.
To let go from anger. Va'azev chema, and abandon anger. Al tischad is the third time we have this pasuk, al tis, this expression. Do not imitate, according to Rashi the Mesudas, or according to what we learned from Chazal, do not compete, do not confront. To only compete, ach lehorea. Now how does the end of the pasuk flow? Let's just do this one pasuk because it's very late. Let's do this one pasuk in the Mesudas Zavid. Hedef me'af, Mesudas Zavid. Hisrape milis chaber imbalaf. So he injects into the pasuk a lot of words that do not appear. And he says, don't connect. Let go. Af is not a midah. According to the Mitzvah Sabbat, Af here in this pasuk is not a midah of a person, but it refers to types of people. Angry people. Okay, that's not the way you learn the pasuk. You think this is a Musa Sefer. Don't ever get angry. Don't ever express anger. It's not what he says. Stay away from people who are angry people. They should not be your friends, not in your circle. Va'azoyv ishchema, abandon, again, look at the Mitzvah stuff, he says, tremendous, incredible chidushim. He injects a word that does not appear in ish. Abandon an ish from your collection of chaveirim, people that are always angry people. The altis odei b'nisha kol machashavta ach la'asoy schora. And the end of the pasuk, the third part, again, he adds in a person. Do not connect, do not try to associate with people whose only desire in this world is ach lehorea, to do evil, to cause harm. Three different types of people are being discussed in this pasuk. Gotta go get a PhD in psychology to understand what's going on over here. Three different types. There are people that are in the category of ach. There are people in the category of chema, and there are people in the category ach lehorea, they only want to do evil. They're not angry. They're not, they're calm. They're calm, cool, collected. Cool people. But what is their agenda? Their agenda is lehorea, to do evil. That's their agenda. You ever seen these smooth talkers? They have, like some of these politicians, they really, their ideas are evil, but they speak, they're so calm. And Hitler, the Machshavah of the Zichro, all of the video clips you see of him, he's always angry. Did you ever see a video clip of Hitler, the Machshavah of the Zichro, of him being calm? I never saw it. Just looking at him, picture of him, you can see an angry, vicious person. And every time he opens up his mouth, video clips, he's always screaming. All three. He was ach chema and ach lehorea. Then there are people, there are politicians out here in this world who, they're really nuts. They're really, really crazy. They really want to kill everyone. And yet, when they promote themselves and their agenda, they're very calm. They smile. They're very happy. And when you realize what they're all about, pachat pachodim. And they're not angry. It's just a craziness of the mind. There are different types of people. There's a person that has the category of af. What is the chil between af and chayim? I don't know. Obviously, there's a difference between these. We have the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is charoin af. The two words, charoin af and chema, they're two different expressions. There's af and there's chema. And over here,
Ketzef
is the more.
This is the worst.
Now, the word heref is an amazing word. The word heref means, it means to let go. Someone once told me, he went to a psychologist, told this to me. He was very, very upset about something. And he told me, the psychologist told him to do this. He told him, you're very angry. Someone stole from you a lot of money. The guy was going to lose. He told him, this is what you do the whole day. You're angry. Close your fist. When you feel that pain of anger, when you feel it, oh, what this guy did to me, close your fist, pick up your hand, I'm giving you a gear, this cost, this advice I'm giving you, this costs $500 an hour for this, to teach you this. Free medical advice here. Close your fist and open it. Let go. Again, you're angry, close this, let go. Open your fist. When you keep on opening up your fist and practice, it will eventually affect your neshama and you'll stop getting so upset at what happened. Because he was so upset, it was preventing him from functioning
right.
Normally. So he had to release this fury. So open up your hand. Practice. Let go. Just let go. That is exactly what the word herif means.
So what herif means? Herifying mean? What does that mean? Okay.
Herifying, the opening up of the eye. I don't know the answer. You say good. What does it mean in that context? The eye is closed in the blink of an eye. I don't know how it's in that context. It may be used differently. I don't know the answer. Here, but in this context, it appears to mean exactly this idea is you're holding something in your hand. It's an expression of anger. Let go. Let go. Now,
that
it's not really...
Eye also,
what?
Your eyes
are closed. You're changing the whole shot in Yeshua Hashem Keheref.
Like a blink.
Heref. So what is, there's something very deep in that. Because if we're saying the word heref means you're holding something in. And when we use the term expression that Yeshua Hashem Kerefayim, it just means b'misiach das. You're walking down this, all of a sudden out of nowhere, a solution presents itself. So if you want to go take what Yankee is saying here, that word heref, in this context, it means you're holding on to something. There's a problem. And let go. So the solution, it doesn't just mean then your eyes are closed. Why does a person close his eyes? You don't want to look. This Peh Shabbos, okay, the Melchemes Goygu Magoy is going to be a lot of death. And that death is going to result in something which you cannot even look at. Day Re'iyah. It's dying. Die means enough. I cannot behold what I see. Rav Shimon Schwab, he called the Holocaust the word Day Re'on. Fascinating. In the kina that he composed for the Holocaust, he didn't use the word Shoah, he didn't use the word Churban Europe, he didn't use any of the popular words that are used today to refer to the Holocaust. He used the word Day Ro'oin. He described the Holocaust as something, the same exact term that Yeshaya used at the end of Sefer Yeshaya to describe casualty, the fallout of Milchemes Goyg u'Magoy. It is so horrific when you attempt or even don't try to behold what happened, your gut reaction is die. I cannot deal with this. Die. Die Re'iyah. It's too much. It's too much for me to comprehend, to look at. Dei ro'oi. It's a composite of two words, dai ri'iyah. So now, what is heref? Heref is something is heref has a precondition. The precondition is that you're holding something very, very tight. I'm holding in my hand anger. I'm holding an object. So what does it mean, heref? Let go. Open up your hand. Yeshua Hashem keherefayim would then have to mean a person has a difficulty in life. The difficulty is so great. Day Re'iyah. I cannot look at this. I cannot come. So what do you do when you can't look at something? You close your eyes. The salvation of Hashem comes keherifayim. I can open up my eyes. It's not so bad. Or I can deal with it. I can handle the situation. I'm not saying words now, I'm thinking with you out loud, as Yermayevsky would say, is that is Yagi is asking, is challenging me that if the word heref here means you have something in your hand and it's closed and you're opening it up, and we use the exact same term with regard to the Yeshua Hashem is keherefayim, should we just accept the simple translation that we all associate, blink of an eye? How long does it take for the eye to blink? It takes less than a second, a fraction of a second. So at any moment in time, a solution can appear in like nothing. Is that what, but there's obviously something deeper. There's much more depth. And if you want to go down this path that when a person has a difficulty in life, he can't look at it. Day ra'oyim, it's a pasuk. Day ra'oyim, day ra'iyah. I can't look at this. I have to close my eyes and not behold this. And now comes salvation, Yeshua Hashem, keheref ayin, and heref means to open up what is closed. It creates a new dynamic in the meaning of salvation. Salvation doesn't mean that it's going to go away. The problem's going to go away any moment. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It doesn't mean, you have to be realistic sometimes. It means, I can look at the problem, because I can deal with it. If you know how to deal, you have the tools how to deal with something, then that half the problem is already gone.
It's not overwhelming anymore.
Right, it's not overwhelming. Not overwhelming because you have the tools and the ability to deal with it.
If you look at it, when there's a solution, the problem is gone.
No matter how big the problem is,
it's gone.
It's gone. Like today, years ago, there were diseases which there was no medication. There was no solution for. A person had a certain type of disease. He's a goner. He's gone. Today, there's a reform. They have medicines. Big deal. A person had a certain thing 50 years, 100 years ago. You're dead. They ready. Put your house in order. Call the funeral director. It's over. The problem is overwhelming. What are we going to do now? What's going to be? Today, you got a problem? This problem would have been the end of the world. Here's a little pill. You just take two of these. You'll be okay. It'll go away. Penicillin. You'll be okay. But death is in front of my eyes. Yeah, I have a solution for you. Oh, you have a solution? I can deal. I'm a time bomb. I'm a walking time. I'm going to die. No big deal. Because all I'm going to do is I have a plan. I take the pill. I'm going to be healed. So you can open up your eyes and look at the problem because you have a solution to dealing with the problem. Whereas if you don't have a solution to the problem, it's day ra'oyim. To a degree, that's a different approach to trying to understand what the word heref in relation to Yeshua Hashem ke heref. I listen to the Rashi. We'll stop. Rashi over here says we did a little mitzudos. We did the Mesudas already. The Rashi will stop here. Heref here means Heref may ask. Heref may harshia shlo yovo olechas. The Rashi clearly disagrees with the Mesudas David. Rashi is giving you a Musa Sefer. This is a Mesilas Yesharim here. This is not a state. This is not advice. You buy you go to business school. According to the Mesudas David, This is you go to Wharton Business School, giving you take a course. Stay away from bad people. Stay away. Don't go into a business arrangement with people that are angry people, people that only want to do evil. Raj is saying we're not dealing here with business, giving you advice. We're giving Musa. You yourself should not be a Russia. Don't follow in your own life a path of wickedness, because that's going to lead you shalo yovay olech af. That will make you into an angry person. Vazov Dover, abandon matters, don't engage in activities. So therefore it's not your chema. It's Hashem. There's a lot of chidushim here in this Rashi. We didn't go to your personal level. Don't do activities that will make you angry. Following the path of rishis will make the person himself angry. And the person does averos, Hashem will have chema. So chema is from Hashem, and af is within, it's from you. And finally, that's it. Okay, we'll stop over here, take a short break. And then we'll learn about Eden Zonimim, the ultimate reality. So did you go to the hospital last night?
I didn't go.
Baruch Hashem, you didn't go.
Right.